Hey, Tiger fans, it's time to talk football. The Auburn Tiger Radio Show with your host, Bo Meganson, starts now. To get in on the show, call 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And War Eagle Auburn fans, and welcome to your Auburn Tiger Radio program. Bo Meganson here with you, as we are every Wednesday night, and I'm joined by Antonio Coleman, former Auburn All-ACC great, the leading sack master in Auburn football history, and former Buffalo Bill, New York Giant, Arizona Cardinal, Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Let me know who else.
Hamilton Tiger Cats.
And Antonio, we're here, of course, at the beautiful Nexus Cinema Dining Facility, just off of Cody Road, south of Greelot, out here in West Mobile. I've got a Crab Everest coming. So that's gonna be a nice, and I know you've looked at the food menu here. What do you think you're gonna be bringing in as we, of course, prepare to talk Auburn football and maybe drown some of our sorrows in some cholesterol?
Well, that voodoo shrimp is amazing. So either the voodoo shrimp or the filet mignon steak bites.
Those are very good. Winners on both cases. So I'll let you have the choice there. I, of course, like I said, I'm gonna get that Crab Everest, but. As we medicate with food here and try to soothe our wounds, another disappointing effort from the Tigers on Saturday. It's again disappointing in that I think the team is not performing up to capabilities. It's one thing if you don't have the players and you don't have the horses to do certain things and you don't perform to expectation that way, but it's another thing altogether. If you've got the capacity, if you've got the players, if you've got whatever tools you have at your disposal, whether it's, you know, cutting down trees and you've got a hacksaw versus a chainsaw, or whether, you know, you're trying to print something out and you've got a printer versus a typewriter, if you've got the right tools, you can make it happen. And Auburn's got better tools offensively than they're using right now, in my view. Am I wrong in any way here?
Well, that's why I think it's so frustrating, because we have the players, and undoubtedly, we have some of the best coaches in college football. But obviously, it's a disconnect going on. I don't know if it's in the coaches' meetings or what have you, but it's a total disconnect going on with all the talent that we have. And the play that we show week in and week out on Saturdays is not Auburn football.
Well, defensively – again, we gave up over 300 yards rushing, 349. That's unacceptable. Only gave up 22 points, limited them to 16 points until the very last few minutes of the game. But still, you can't give up that many points and or gives you that many yards rushing the ball. And that's it. We've looked at the numbers of snaps. Every week we talk about defensive snaps. You've got it right there in front of you. Marlon Davidson played 66 snaps. Nick Coe, 56. That's a lot of wear and tear on those guys that's going to show up down the road. And in the fourth quarter, not only when you're dispirited because the offense isn't doing anything, but when you've been out there that long, time of possession, State had the ball almost 42 minutes. We had it 18 minutes. That's a recipe for not just a loss but for disaster going forward.
Well, I'm a living witness that if you're playing over 50, 60 snaps, it's a high percentage chance that you're going to lose. You know, and I lived it, I did it, and was one of the most frustrating seasons that I've had, you know, when I play for Auburn.
Well, I remember, and again, we talked about this before we went on the air, is that what's transpired thus far is very eerily similar, although the overall circumstances are different, but it's similar to 2008. Coach Tupperville's last year, which you were a junior, I guess, that year, started off, I think, 4-2, lost a game to Vanderbilt that we should never have lost because the offense couldn't perform, and then just went downhill from there. The difference, I think a couple of differences. Number one, offensively, very few players on that team, although the next year some of those players did a little better. But the offensively you had – well, I'll let you tell a story. Defensively had some guys – but offensively couldn't get anything going. This year, you got some guys. I mean, we've seen what Anthony Schwartz can do. When he touched the ball one time on Saturday. We've seen what Sean Shivers could do at the open field, touch the ball one time on Saturday. They threw one screen to Booby Whitlow, and he dropped it. It would have been a big play, but he dropped it. He had another one for a first down. Well, I take that back. He caught another one, and if Calvin Ashley even gets in the defender's way, it becomes a first down. As it was, he was short. We ended up kicking a field goal instead of getting a first down and holding onto the ball. So little things. We can talk about other little things too, but let's get specific to your situation. 2008, what you guys went through. Compare that to where Auburn is now.
Very similar, like you said, but now Auburn has more players than we had. Cody Burns was our quarterback, and I love Cody to this day, but he was not a college quarterback at that time. Defensively, we had some guys, Meese and Derek Marks.
Josh.
Josh Mons, Gerard Powers, Trey Blackman. I mean, we had some ballers. So defensively, we keep the offense in just about every game. But if you're playing 60, 70 snaps a game, it wears on you. Coaching staff, you bring in Tony Franklin. I think he gets fired the seventh game.
It was the
fourth or fifth game of the season.
The game after the 3-2 game that you guys won.
The Mississippi State game, mm-hmm. which is, you know, what they brought up a lot mm-hmm. during this past week. So he gets fired because we're not getting offensive production. You know, and we whooped Mississippi State 3-2. You know, so that game is going to go down in history as one of the probably lower scoring games in college football.
Where both teams scored.
Right. And defensively, we had some guys. Offensively, we couldn't get it done. There was no way around it. We just couldn't get it done.
Fast forward to today. It's different, number one, because we've got some players. You've got some decent offensive linemen, and the coach has been there for a while. Some good guys on the outside, a quarterback that's certainly proven already to be a very good college quarterback. Last year, back when he was at Baylor, very productive. Totally different situation there. However, now supposedly we've got an offensive coach who's supposed to know offenses and know how to produce. Coach Tuberville was more of a CEO. He brought in a guy who didn't work for whatever reasons. So Eddie Grand took over back then when you guys, and of course Eddie Grand's now at Kentucky doing a pretty good job. But I'm somewhat at a loss here. In fact, not somewhat, absolutely at a loss of trying to determine how things turn around. Last year, they did get turned around after the LSU game. We were 4-2. Somehow a switch got flipped. I'm hoping the switch gets flipped again. Every game we play three games we should win. Ole Miss, we were better than Ole Miss. I mean, we were better than Mississippi State. We were better than LSU. Should not have lost to LSU. Absolutely should not have lost to State. No excuse there. We should beat Ole Miss. We should beat UT. We should beat Texas A&M. However, not sure we will. But going forward, do you see the potential for us kind of throwing the switch like we did last year? There's not a Kerryon Johnson. There's not a Braden Smith up front. There's not an Austin Golson up front. I'm trying to find where we can have the best opportunity to turn it around.
Well, the key is you have to play perfect football on offense. We don't have that marquee running back. We have some great receivers, great young receivers that are going to be studs, you know. But Jared Stidham has to play like one of the top quarterbacks in the game and like one of the top guys that we thought he was coming into this year. You know, his play has been subpar, you know, this whole season, missing reads.
Missing Slayton wide open. And then Booby Whitlow tries to stretch the ball. I swear to God, if last year Kerryon Johnson injured his shoulder trying to stretch the ball. This year we have a fumble that costs us 7 points. At some point, Tim Horton's got to tell the guys, don't stretch the ball. Don't get it away from your body. Otherwise, the rest of the team's going to do up-downs for the next 20 minutes, and you're going to watch them.
That was painful. I don't know if he was trying to stretch the ball, switch hands, but he definitely fumbled the ball, you know, and that was a big turning point in the game. It's like, man, offensively, we can't get anything right.
And then Slayton drops in a touchdown in the end zone or has the guy knock it out of his hand when I'm not sure why he tried to put the ball in one hand. If he just comes down, heads the ball in both hands with another touchdown. So there is 21 points that we should have had, but you got to make the plays. It's like when you got a chance at the quarterback, you got a chance to strip sack him and knock the ball loose. You got to make the play, right?
Got to hunt you for the rest of your life. Special teams, we got to make the field goal kicks also.
And then, of course, the punt, the fumbled punt. special teams, which has helped us out to this point, cost us. We lost 3 points there, and then cost us on the fumble.
Yeah.
So to this point, again, the special teams have been fine, but defensively, do you see the ability to try to against again a weak offensive team, Tennessee? Do you see us being able to rally this week?
Well, I hope so, Bo. On the other side, we'll talk about what we need to do defensively to get Auburn back on track to get this win Saturday.
All right, 343-0106. 343-0106 is our number. Bo Meganson and Antonio Coleman talking Tigers with you till the top of the hour here on the Auburn Tiger Radio program, coming to you live from Nexus Cinema Dining. I've got a pile of crab meat here, the crab Everest here that's going to be probably disappearing in the next 90 seconds. Come on out, join us. Big screen TVs around, huge screen cinemas downstairs with Lazy Boys. Again, great environment here at Nexus Cinema Dining. Come join us. Back with more of your Auburn Tiger Radio program right after this.
Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And welcome back to your Auburn Tiger Radio program, Auburn fans. 343-0106 is the number. 343-0106. I'm joined by Antonio Coleman, and we're coming to you live from Nexus Cinema Dining as Antonio nibbles on a little crab meat, crab Everest. We will be joined by Jeffrey Lee in the next segment. And Antonio, before we move on and talk football more, what did you think of this crab Everest?
Well, we'll put it like this. If you haven't been to Nexus Cinema Dining, I would behoove you to make your way down to definitely try their food. That crab Everest probably – I've never had crab Everest before in my life.
It's a mountain of crab meat and stuff.
But that's got to be some of the best food I've ever tasted in my life, and probably going to be one of my favorites that I order every time I come in now.
Again, the crab Everest, and I know that you've had and are a big fan of the filet mignon bites, and those have treated you right before, as well as the voodoo shrimp. So, folks, I'm telling you, when you come out here and go to a movie and watch a movie here, you're sitting in a Lazy Boy. They bring food, drinks, and I'm not talking about popcorn and hot dogs, unless that's what you want. But we're talking about crab, popcorn shrimp, fried shrimp, chicken bites. You're talking about filet mignon bites, nachos, beer specials, harder libation should you feel like you need it. If you're an Auburn fan, you might need it this week. But it's just, it's brought to your Lazy Boy as you, and you order on an iPad. It's a fantastic experience, and I really encourage you to come out. This is a great place to come watch a movie, come watch the ball games on the 16 big screen TVs we've got in here today. Plus, they have a new coffee bar in the morning. If you want to come out at 7 o'clock on your way into work and you live out this way, great coffee in the morning to get your day started right. So come on by Nexus Cinema Dining. Cannot recommend this place enough. And AC, before the previous break, we were talking about defense. And I think defensively we'll be as good as any team we play going forward regardless. I mean, it's not going to be about us. And again, even though we lost the game, defensively gave up a bunch of yards, way too many yards on the ground, but didn't give up a lot of points. 16 until the very end, and you could argue that play at the very end of the first half, they only gave up 7 points. But you, as Coach Kevin Steele said, someone asked him about that, he said, well, we should have made the play in the backfield. We had a blitz called. We had a chance to make the play in the backfield. Didn't make it. You can't make it, let it be close enough that you put it in the referee's hands. Do not put it in the referee's hands. And that's why you don't reach the ball out at the goal line. You don't give them a chance to take it away from you. So with that in mind, tell me what you think and what can they do this week, or do you expect them to play the way they have been playing this week against Tennessee?
A lot of missed opportunities this past Saturday. Defensively, that has been a strong suit for Auburn football for a long time, and I don't see it changing. Kevin Steele's a great defensive coordinator, probably one of the best minds in the game. I'm 100% sure that he's going to have those guys focused and ready to go and definitely bounce back this Tennessee game.
We have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and take that call. Go ahead. You're on the Auburn Tiger Radio program.
Yeah, I've got a couple questions for AC in regards to defense, because those guys have been playing lights out all year. Deshaun Davis has obviously just been being himself and playing, just done a wonderful job. But does that cause any kind of dissension in the locker room? Because, man, those guys have got to be just exhausted. I don't care. We're only human. And when you're out there busting your butt and Jarrett Stidham's a returning senior, and it looks, well, returning junior, retro junior, but it looks to be like he's regressed. And do you think, from a quarterback standpoint, development-wise, is Gus actually capable of actually developing a quarterback? I mean, you can't count Cam and Nick Marshall, because those guys are just, you know, those are unicorns. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, and to your point, before AC jumps in, don't forget that Nick Marshall actually was worse his senior year than he was his junior year statistically. And we were also, obviously, record-wise. So, AC, I'll let you answer Manuel's question.
Being a defensive guy that was in the same situation, as a defensive mind and what I teach my kids, and I'm pretty sure what's going on in that locker room is Coach Kevin Steele is saying, if they don't score, they don't win. You know, and that's what it comes down to. You know, if I'm giving up points as a defensive guy, how can I argue about what the offense is doing? Even if we score 3 points, it should be 3-0, you know. I mean, it may cause a little tension, but at the end of the day, what I teach to my younger guys and what I thought of when I was in the same position is to close my eyes when the offense is on the field. There's nothing that the offense can do besides score points, and the only thing I can do defensively is give them the ball as many times as we can to put them in better position to score the ball.
Well, and we did that. First, one of the first series of downs, get a 3-and-out, then intercept the pass, give them the ball, give the offense the ball about the 40-yard line. We get about 9 yards, and then on that third down and about 4 or 5, throw a screen pass to Booby Whitlow. He gets outside. If Calvin Ashley, there's one guy, and if Calvin Ashley can just redirect him a little bit, Whitlow's going to get a lot more yardage. And Ashley didn't do anything. And, of course, later on in the game, we saw that Montez Sweat, the defensive end for Mississippi State, just abused Ashley. And, of course, I don't know what the coaches saw during the game that would have led them to believe he could handle it, that Ashley could have handled the guy. Even though he was a 4 or 5-star recruit, he clearly isn't ready for the big time yet. And got abused there on the last few drives. So, but we didn't give him any help. I compared to you weren't at Auburn yet back in 2001 when we went up and played Syracuse. And Monrico Crittenden had to guard or tried to block Dwight Freeney and couldn't do it, and almost got poor Jason Campbell killed. And it took Jason Campbell 2 years to recover from that game, which hopefully, fortunately, he did later on, thanks to Bobby Petrino's coaching. But that said, Jarrett Stidham is still missing guys. There are open receivers that he's just not seeing, and he's not pulling trigger and getting to them. And I'm not sure what's different this year from last year, whether he's gone Brody. If you remember, the Brody game, mm-hmm. where we sacked Brody 11 times, and he just stopped looking downfield and was looking for the rush. And it looks like that's somewhat where Jarrett Stidham is now.
I mean, we can't put it all on the offensive line. Yeah, they have their woes and their mishaps. But if I'm standing in the pocket and there's two open receivers and I don't get the ball out, that's kind of the quarterback's fault too. You know, so you definitely have to get the ball out. And I watched this week in and week out. I watched Jarrett Stidham, I feel like, take a step back every week. You know, last year was a more than adequate quarterback. You know, and you're expected to be a top quarterback coming out this year, maybe a Heisman hopeful even. And you're playing below average and subpar football by not making reads and not hitting the open receiver.
He's the 10th rated receiver. The 10th rated quarterback in the conference right now, below just about everybody. Let's go back to the phones and take a call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the Auburn Tiger radio program.
Hey, guys, War Eagle.
War Eagle.
I'm not going to be redundant. I'm glad you only gave me 3 or 4 minutes at tops, because I'm not going to repeat what is the known. You know, Bo, if you and I were to be in the cinema parking lot in the dark and I threw you a football up in the air with no one around, you could probably find it. I cannot fathom how, when nobody is within a 20-yard radius, Stidham can't get the ball to the guy.
It was.
I don't know what happens during the week, and I don't know about you guys, but you know, back in the day at my office, they hired a consultant. I thought it was kind of a joke. I still do to this day. But do we need a consultant to go on the sidelines this time of the week during practice and say, well, you know what? Here's my chalkboard. Coach, I really don't agree with you doing this and you doing that. I mean, what's another couple $1 million to pay a consultant? I'm being satirical, but, you know, guys, this is getting to the point where when we're scared this weekend, we got some major, major problems.
Well, and to your point, you make a very good point, and we talked about this earlier, that if this keeps going, I'd expect Chip Lindsey to leave on his own just for professional preservation, because he can't have a lot of years on this on his resume like this and expect to get a big-time job.
I'll agree with that. That was my first instinct. I don't know if it's Chip. I don't know. You know, I like Coach Steele taking it and saying, hey, this is my fault, what happened on my side of the ball, but I mean, you know, I don't know. Can you guys think of any kind of light at the end of the tunnel? Because for me, the door's closing.
Well, caller, let me ask you this. Have we seen this movie before under Gus Malzahn?
I'm telling you. Bo, you hit the nail on the head.
2015, 2016?
No doubt. I mean, no doubt.
And was there a different or the same offensive coordinator then as we have now?
I get you there.
The faces changed. We had different wide receiver coaches then. Damien was coaching. Got Cody Burns now. So we're changing some of the pawns and the rooks and the bishops, but the king is still the same. And so until there's someone that, and this is what AC, and I'll give AC credit for it, we said earlier. I don't know if you heard, but until someone comes in that can tell Gus Malzahn, okay, I'm taking over because I'm going to save my career and I'm going to save your career. And there's one guy I think that could do that. His name is Hugh Freeze.
I totally agree, and I think that it's something that's going to have to happen. Unfortunately, this marriage is going too far, and we're just going to be some deep pockets to get it out. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Well, we'll see. I mean, because as we've discussed earlier, Athletic Director Alan Green said that Auburn football drives everything else, and so we've got to have that. We're going to step aside and come back with Jeffrey Lee of AuburnSports.com, back with more of your Auburn Tiger radio program right after this. And welcome back, Auburn fans, back to your Auburn Tiger radio program. We are here at Nexus Cinema Dining and just enjoying the wonderful food, the big screen TVs, the liquid refreshments that they have at your disposal. So, AC, I know you've been looking over here at this crab with the mustard cream butter garlic sauce and you're doing well keeping yourself away from it, because I know you're still kind of in training yourself. But what has been your favorite thing to eat here since you've been here?
Well, like I said before, the filet mignon bites are amazing. So that would be number one. And this is the crab meat.
The crab Everest. It's a mountain of crab and other good stuff.
The crab Everest definitely is number two. It's amazing. Rich. You get that buttery, that savory flavor. And, I mean, it's amazing.
It's good. It is. It's almost like a hollandaise buttery. Well, it's good. Let's go to the phones and take another caller. Welcome to the Auburn Tiger radio program. Hello, LD.
Hello.
Hey, LD, go ahead. You're on the air.
Didn't know I was going to be next.
Yeah.
Look, you know, I'm glad you said something about chess. I've been coaching chess for many, many years, and I've found, in not all instances, but if you get an A1 player that starts messing up, not taking the game seriously, you put an A2 player in his place, and things seem to change automatically. Why don't we take Stidham out for the first quarter and show him that he can be replaced? Maybe he'll shape up. I don't know. It's worth a try.
Well, I think to your point, LD, the part of the challenge is that Gus Malzahn is his most successful offenses have come with the exception of last year, after LSU, of course. But the best successful offenses have come with a running quarterback. And right now we could use a running quarterback because just with our straight-up running game and our offensive line, we can't run the ball very well. We could really use a running quarterback right now to give ourselves a chance to move the ball more effectively. But Gus has yet to demonstrate, at least at the SEC level, that he can produce a productive offense without a running quarterback. Again, last year was the exception after the LSU game. And the caveat, I think, in that case was that he basically had a loaded gun pointed at his head the whole season and knew that if he lost any other games, he was going to get fired. And it's amazing how motivated and how well someone can do with their job, whatever it is, whether it be coaching or sales or plumbing or yard cutting or whatever it is. When they know they're going to get fired if their current job, if they don't do well with their current job, it's amazing how well they can do it. And AC and I have made the point from the beginning of this show this year. It'll be interesting to see how well Gus Malzahn does when he doesn't have any motivation and he does not have his job on the line every week. Because without that, he's 8-4, best. With it, he made it to the SEC championship game. So let's go back to the phones and take another caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, War Eagle, guys.
War Eagle.
You know, as an Auburn fan, you know, bleed orange and blue, and I've tried to give Gus and now even Chip, but especially Gus since he's a head guy, every benefit of the doubt. And now I can't make excuses for him anymore. I'm, you know, honestly ready for a coaching change unless something. I would love to eat crow, and I love to be wrong.
Well, you know, to your point, Gary, what was the justification for hiring Gus Malzahn in the beginning, and the reason we heard from Jay Jacobs of why we don't need to replace Gus Malzahn? What was the justification? Do you remember?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know that it didn't make a lot of sense.
What was supposed to be his area of expertise?
That's exactly to get the offense. Yep. And
he was an offensive genius, and there's no way we could find anybody any better, right?
Yep.
Do we believe that's still the case?
I don't. I definitely think we can find somebody who can run offense better than what he's doing. I mean,
the evidence. You know, I think the evidence agrees with you, and I would take it another step further. If he's not an offensive genius, and that was the justification all the time for hiring him, what does he bring to the table?
Yeah, you know, he doesn't make it. And I'm no coach. I'm just an armchair quarterback. But it seems to me he has not made any adjustments. When we first came into the league, you know, and nobody could figure out that hurry up, no offense. And he was running roughshod over opponents. Okay, so people started adjusting to it. Now people have, you know, he won't adjust. Now the other people have adjusted to kind of slowing it down. It doesn't seem like you know, he's all every year. He says, "Oh, well, we're still trying." After first couple of games, so we lost the game. You know, it's like, well, we're still trying to figure things out. And you know, shouldn't you be doing that during the spring and fall? I mean, you know,
well,
you're going to be for national championships year in and year out. Which there's no reason Auburn shouldn't be doing that. At least on the SEC, your top programs, they don't wait until the middle of the year to get going.
I agree with you. And, you know, apparently $7 million a year didn't buy what it used to. So, now maybe that's not a lot of money to you.
But I'll hang out and listen, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Jeffrey Lee of AuburnSports.com. And, Jeffrey, appreciate you hanging on as we got to a couple of callers. I think you kind of heard the tenor and the attitude of a lot of Auburn fans. Probably not a lot different from what you're hearing around your neck of the woods, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it mirrors what I read every day on the bunker and have been reading for several weeks now. It seems like the general consensus, at least, is at least spreading, not just on message board, but it's getting out with a lot of frustration, definitely, with this fan base right now.
Well, and, of course, my son, I got one up at Auburn, and he was telling me there's now a crowdfunding or a GoFundMe page to buy out Gus's buyout. Now that's it's going to take a lot to buy out $49 million. But is there? We talked about last year after the LSU game how it was almost like a switch was flipped. Again, but you had Kerryon Johnson there. You had Braden Smith that's on an NFL roster. You had Austin Golson, who was a seasoned guy. You had Darius James, who was an experienced seasoned guy. You had a good center, an experienced center in Casey Dunn, who's still on an NFL roster. You ain't got that right now. And apparently you've got to we've got to rebuild Jarrett Stidham because he's going Jason Campbell on us, or early young Jason Campbell.
Right, right. I was thinking the other day, you know, before the season started, who would have thought that after six games, people would be questioning whether Jarrett Stidham needs to be benched or not? You know, we knew there was questions on the offensive line. We didn't think it was going to be bad. We didn't think it was going to be terrible. I don't think anybody's going to argue here. This line, this offensive line, it's terrible. It's inexcusable, in my opinion, and it's definitely unacceptable for a program like Auburn, who, you know, is not coming off probation, who's not limited with scholarships, who, you know, you had a turnover with the offensive line coach, but you brought in this technician, J.B. Grimes, who's supposed to turn these guys into, capable linemen. And what I saw, you know, whether it's Mike Corton, against our Caleb Kim against LSU, Mike Horton against Arkansas, or Calvin Ashley against Mississippi State, it was embarrassing performances, to be honest with you. Those three guys right there in those games didn't look like they had learned a lot, at least this year. And I can understand the frustration coming from Auburn's side, and then not only do you get the offensive line, the weakness that we all were thinking going into the season, but your strength, the only strength on offense coming into this season, also you can make an argument to replace him as well. So a lot of things going bad for Auburn on offense right now. And you look back at the Mississippi State game, and I think there were at least three touchdowns left on the field. The overthrow from Stidham, Darius Slayton dropped a touchdown pass in the end zone, and Booby Whitlow fumbled going in. So there's 21 points that, you know, could have been avoided. You've got to make those plays in the SEC. You've got to make those plays. Auburn should be making those plays. You know, we're not talking about Vanderbilt here or, you know, in years past I would have said Kentucky, but they're much better than Auburn right now, at least on offense. So Auburn can't be making those mistakes, shouldn't be making those mistakes, and surely can't moving forward.
Jeffrey, how you doing?
Doing well, AC. I don't hear your belly grumbling from what I've been listening to. Sounds like you're getting full there.
Yeah, I got these filet mignons bite just drizzled in butter right now.
Oh.
But
it's pretty awesome. They're pretty awesome.
Can we argue that Calvin Ashley against the kid, the sweat kid from Mississippi State, reminded you of Dwight Freeney and Munrico when they played Syracuse that year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Calvin Ashley makes Sweat look like an All-American, no doubt. And maybe he is. I don't know. But and I was talking to J.G. Tate, our publisher, the other day on our podcast. If you would think you would have a running back, a pass-blocking running back in there to give the kid some help. He's a redshirt freshman. You know, this is his I don't know how many games he's played in this year, but he's obviously not well-polished enough to take on a guy like Sweat one-on-one. Where's his help? You know, what LSU did against Auburn's defensive front, they max protected. They made sure their quarterback had time. They only sent out two receivers sometimes on routes and made it happen because they were able to give Burrow time to throw. Jarrett Stidham, the biggest problem he has right now is he's scared. He's chucking and ducking. He's throwing, he's falling to his left. He's anticipating pressure. He's just anticipating getting hit. And until Auburn's offensive line or somehow can alleviate that, I can't understand how that's going to change.
Well, and Jeffrey, to your point, again, missing guys that are open, he's not seeing open receivers on many plays where he's holding the ball, whether it's a check down where he's got a short guy, whether it be Chandler Cox or somebody else open for a short 5-yard gain, or guys that are coming into open windows, he's just not seeing. We talked earlier that it made the analogy. It looks like Brody Croyle in the 11 sack game, where he was just watching the rush come in at some point, and wasn't even looking downfield unless there was a one read quick throw.
It's a complete snowball. It's like everything that can go wrong for Auburn is. I mean, where's the quarterback? How can how can a quarterback regress as much as Jarrett Stidham has in the past year? Tough to do.
Well, I tell you, Jeffrey, can you hold on to the next segment? We haven't even gotten to basketball and recruiting, but basketball is what's going to be, I think, really exciting, even though we had the tip-off at Toomer's Corner canceled. But we'll be back with more of your Auburn Tiger radio program. If you'd like to call in, it's 343-0106, 343-0106. Bo Meganson, Antonio Coleman, and RivalSports.com, or AuburnSports.com's Jeffrey Lee, back with you right after this.
Welcome back to the Auburn Tiger Radio Show. Want to talk football? Call now, 343-0106. Here's your host, Bo Meganson.
And welcome back for our final segment of this week's Auburn Tiger Radio program, coming to you live from Nexus Cinema Dining out here just south of Grelot Road on Cody. Great stuff out here. If you want to come watch a movie, great experience. You've got Lazy Boy recliners. They bring your food to you. And again, as we said earlier, we're not talking about popcorn and hot dogs, unless that's what you want, or maybe some Skittles or whatever. We're talking crab meat, the Crab Meat Everest, which is a mountain of crab meat that I've been eating. We've got filet mignon bites that AC's been working on. We've got voodoo shrimp, the wonderful fried shrimp. We've got chicken. We've got nachos, all kinds of real entrees. I mean, this is a dinner and a show date night type place. And it's a great experience. So come on out here. Again, in the morning, they have a coffee bar where you can come grab a good cup of coffee on your way into work in the morning. It opens at 7 o'clock. So lots of great things out here at Nexus Cinema Dining. And I'm going to make sure that I bring my good friend Jeffrey Lee out here next time he's in Mobile. And Jeffrey, of course, you've had some good gumbo from down here, but this is another place we need to get you to sample some of the cargo.
Yes, please.
Well, we were talking in the previous segment about football. It's and I think there's lots of different ways we can go with that. Can Auburn's offense throw the switch like they did last year? I don't know. But I think if things don't dramatically improve, and we'll get into recruiting and basketball, because basketball is really exciting right now, and we don't want to let that go, even though this is football season. But, heck, we may be a basketball school at this point going forward. Bruce Pearl could do it. I wouldn't mind giving Bruce Pearl a shot at the football program. Because the guy's a winner. But that Chip Lindsey, if things don't improve for his own professional self-preservation, I could see Chip Lindsey moving on and not allowing this, you know, two of these seasons to stay in his record, because he's still a young guy. At that point, after going through Rhett and going through Chip Lindsey, it becomes pretty obvious that to me anyway, from the outside looking in, that Gus needs somebody who can come in and say, look, I'm going to save both our jobs. I'm going to save myself. I'm going to get myself and do well for myself, but I'm going to save your job too, and I care enough about you as a friend to do that. And the guy that fits that bill, who knows what top-level athletes looks like, who knows how to develop quarterbacks, who knows how to recruit quarterbacks, and can put a good product on the field, seems to be Hugh Freeze. That also has that personal relationship with Gus that can talk to him that way, which is apparently what he needs to hear, in my opinion. Am I wrong, Jeffrey?
No, absolutely not. I would, if Chip Lindsey were to leave, if something were to happen there, I would absolutely expect Hugh Freeze to be at the top of the wish list for Auburn. And, as bad as he's been, at least portrayed in the media the last couple of years from his time at Ole Miss, but you know, as bad as it sounds, it would be a home run hire, at least on paper, from what I could tell. You know, everything fit. You know, he's got the relationship with Gus. He's a great play caller. He's a great developer at the quarterback position. He's a great recruiter, and it would be a big name. It would create some buzz. And I think he served his 1 year suspension. Is that right? Was it 1 year from the SEC?
Right.
I believe Nick Saban was trying to hire him as an analyst last year, and
yes, he was
not allowed by the SEC because they wanted him to sit out a year. And it all kind of fits together with The thing I have with changing coordinators, and absolutely, some of the things that, you know, the hurry up, the NASCAR is what Auburn calls it. You know, when they get a first down, they run to the line of scrimmage and run a play. And you know, 90% of the time since Gus Malzahn's been at Auburn, it's a run up the middle. And I don't think anybody is fooled by that. Certainly, it gets frustrating watching, as I've been reading on from the listening to the fans. You know, it's frustrating to watch. So I don't know how much of this is Chip. I've seen Chip. He's more of a passer. Gus is more of a runner. So it's hard to say, you know, how much of this is really Chip, because Gus is at least going to have his footprint in all the offenses. That's just how he is and who he is. And I guess for the sake of argument, it's how it should be if he's going to be the guy who's calling it from the top. But I definitely think Hugh Freeze will be a guy to – you'd have to get past Hugh Freeze for me to get to anybody else if Auburn were to make a change in the offseason.
And you just give him what he wants?
I don't think Auburn can afford to. They'd have to come up with it. You know, Gus might have to donate a couple more million to the football-only facility.
I agree. Well, and Gus has got plenty of his own, but I know AC had a question for you too.
Jeffrey, any big-time recruits coming down on the plane to the Plains this weekend?
Big-time recruit, your number one running back target in the country is coming in this weekend for an official visit. It's Noah Kane from IMG Academy down in Bradenton, Florida. Most think LSU is the team to beat, and he's actually come out and said it. And, you know, I thought Auburn's best shot was Noah Kane going into this season, because he really does love Auburn. He loves Tim Horton. He loves the tradition of running the football in Auburn. His father's from Louisiana. His mother's from Texas. So LSU geographically seemed to fit, you know, what he was looking for. I thought Auburn's best shot with him would be Ed Orgeron and Steve Ensminger tanking this season, which I thought going into the season was a very real possibility. I didn't see Auburn being 4-2 and LSU being 5-1. I'll certainly admit that. So I don't think anything to this point has happened that would put Auburn over the top for him. But this weekend will be big in Auburn's efforts to do so. You know, he'll be coming in with his father, who was at the LSU game. He couldn't make it. Noah couldn't make it, but his father came up, which shows you how much interest they have in Auburn, how much respect they have for Tim Horton and Chip Lindsey, believe it or not, and Gus Malzahn. All three of those guys are really recruiting this kid. So Auburn's number one running back target will be on campus this weekend for an official visit. Kobe Wooden, who's he's committed. He'll be in. Zion Puckett, a four-star cornerback, really, really good player. He's already committed to Auburn. He'll be in as well. And Owen Popo, the five-star linebacker from Grayson, over in Georgia, is expected to be in. So there'll be at least, you know, four or five guys on official visits. And then the unofficial visitor list is going to be similar to LSU, although I don't think it'll be as big or as fancy because of the 11 a.m. kickoff. But definitely there's going to be a lot of recruits in football and basketball as well.
Well, nice segue there, Jeffrey, because I was going to go next to basketball. This was going to be a very exciting week for the basketball program because we were going to have on Midnight Madness tomorrow night, they were going to have a big event at Toomer's Corner, Midnight Madness basketball at Toomer's Corner. But, of course, the hurricane came through and justifiably they had to cancel that. But talk about where the basketball, just the aura around the basketball program, the enthusiasm, the excitement. I know I got a feeling that Bruce Pearl will come up with something different now that they had to cancel that event at Toomer's Corner that may not be as exciting, but something pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Bruce has got he's just as good as marketing and his team and his program as he is coaching. He's an alpha guy in charge. And I hated to see the tip-off at Toomer's canceled, but completely understand. But this weekend and the Texas A&M weekend, Auburn's going to have a big basketball recruiting weekend. Damian Ball's coming in this weekend. He's one of the top players in the country, number 12 point guard in the country from up in Tennessee. He's coming in for an official visit. Isaac Okoro, the four-star forward that's committed to Auburn, is coming in for an official visit, as well as some five-star guys from the 2020 and 2021 classes. So it'll be a very, very big weekend. Football, basketball, recruiting, four- and five-star guys are expected to be there and be plenty of.
Here in the last minute, the big 6'8 kid from Atlanta who was looking to be recategorized, Stretch Akinboa, is he going to be coming in January, or is he going to be part of next year's class?
That's the hope, Bo. The hope really is that he'll get cleared. But, man, he's having some problems with visa. Going back to his home to, country of Nigeria, they don't know that he can get back. So they're working on that paperwork, a lot of international paperwork being worked out. The hope is to get him here in January, but certainly, you know, to get him here, just get him here back, period. But best case would be January right now.
Yeah, he really couldn't help us if he wasn't on the continent. So that would be a good thing.
His arms are long, but they're not that long.
Exactly. Well, Jeffrey, we appreciate you joining us. Look forward to having you next week, and hopefully we have some more good things to talk about.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Right. Jeffrey Lee of AuburnSports.com, a Rivals affiliate. You're great, a great resource for anything you want regarding Auburn sports, football, basketball, anything. Go to AuburnSports.com. That's it for this week, folks. Bo Meganson, Antonio Coleman. Be back with you next Wednesday here at Nexus Cinema Dining for your Auburn Tiger radio program. Till then, worry.